Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay. Let's try that a second time. Good evening.
Good evening.
That's better. Great to be with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God together. Couple of quick announcements. As was mentioned, don't forget about the iHeart RYC this week. We have someone who has offered to match up to $500 from the people giving from this congregation. We are at 310 right now, and so by next Sunday night, I feel confident we'll hit 500. Probably we'll do more than that. We've always done more than that in the past, but anything you give up to that point, it's like giving double that, since that's going to be matched. And so this congregation has always been a big helper in that, both as individuals and then the congregation at times has given just from the church itself. And so all of that helps. RYC's, our young people love going there. And so these funds help to keep it up to date, keep it running like it needs to be. And like I said, this year specifically, it will stop it from raining on the inside when it's only supposed to be raining on the outside of the activities building. Also, Stephen wanted me to mention that he had forgotten to mention Miss Rita Hartman. She goes Wednesday to talk to the surgeon about her diverticulitis to decide what course of action to take. And so please continue to remember her in your prayers. Definitely want to do that. Tonight, as I said this morning, we want to talk about and ask the question, what is grace? Now, if you came tonight expecting a very deep theological discussion on the topic of grace, that's not this sermon. We can have that, and in fact, we have done some of that as we've studied in the book of Romans. But tonight, really, I wanted us to notice more of an overview of grace and just some things that we always need to keep in mind. And the truth of the matter is, really, we have tonight two sermons. Now, first off, here in the introduction, there are three things that I want us to notice about grace that we need before we get into our three points that we want to notice this evening. First off, we need to recognize the need for grace. Y'all, we need grace. Romans 3:23, as Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There's not an individual in this auditorium of accountable age that has not been guilty of sin. And then, of course, you add to that Romans 6:23, which tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so when you put those two verses together, we recognize the fact that we all have sinned. We are all alienated from God, and we cannot accomplish the removal of that guilt on our own. And as a result, the thing that you and I deserve, according to Romans 6:23, is death for that. You and I needed two things. We needed mercy and we needed grace. And when we hear those two words, I realize that those two words are very closely akin to one another, but they're not the same thing. Mercy is simply not receiving what we deserve. Cop pulls you over. You got a little heavy with your foot. You want mercy, right? What do you deserve? You deserve a ticket. But we want mercy. We don't want to receive what we deserve. Spiritually speaking, what do we deserve? We deserve death. Romans 6:23. But we don't receive death. That's mercy. Grace is slightly different. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. Do you see the difference? Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Then grace is giving you something that you don't deserve. Mercy, we deserve death, but we don't receive it. Grace steps in and says, here's salvation. Here's blessings. Here's heaven as your eternal home. Mercy and grace akin to one another, but not the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace," there's our word, "you have been saved." Salvation offered to us, didn't deserve it, but it's been offered to us. Verse 6, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God. Brethren, we need grace. Without grace, there is no salvation. A second thing that we need to recognize is the source of grace. And of course, that source is God. Out of his great love for us, God provided his Son. John 3:16, this tells us so clearly about God's love that caused him to send Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm sure you've heard the acronym before. I've used it before. For grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid the price for that grace by giving his life upon the cross. Romans 3:23, and I think so oftentimes we miss Romans 3:23 because we only ever quote Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Paul goes on to say, and all are justified by his grace, as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't leave the, you've all sinned, you're all lost. He goes on to say, you've all sinned, but you also all have been justified. And that justification came about by grace as a gift. And it was made possible through the redemption that Jesus accomplished on the cross. As we think about grace, we need to understand that we need it. We need to recognize the source from which it comes. And then thirdly, we need to understand the acceptance of grace. Calvinism, which is a word that encompasses a very large doctrine that has lots of different parts and lots of different areas that and it's really influenced the majority of the Christian world. But part of Calvinism is the idea of irresistible grace. The idea that God saves you and there's nothing you can do about it. Of course, that's not taught in Scripture. The Scripture teaches that if we're going to receive grace, we have to be willing to accept that grace. And accepting God's grace requires obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Hebrew writer says, and being made perfect, speaking of Jesus, he, Jesus, became the source of eternal salvation to all who... Now he's the source of eternal salvation. What's connected to salvation? Grace. How do we get that? To all who obey him. And if we want to accept God's grace, we have to be obedient to him. We don't get to just say, hey, God offers grace, so it's mine. No. God offers grace, but he places his terms upon it. And we have to be obedient to him to accept that grace. Romans 6, 17 and 18, back to the book of Romans, a great book on grace. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, how are we set free from sin? Grace plays a role in that. You have become slaves of righteousness. How were they set free from sin? How did they take advantage of that grace? They obeyed from the heart the standard of teaching that they were given. To accept God's grace, we have to obey God's commands. Obedience is required. All right, sermon number one out of the way. Let's move on to our three points that we want to notice tonight. Number one, grace is unmerited. Grace is unmerited. This is probably the most common definition that we hear concerning the topic of grace. And that is the definition of what is grace. It is unmerited favor. In other words, there is nothing that you and I could do that would merit God's grace. At no point could we turn to God and say, God, I'm owed this. No. No, we're not. There's nothing inherent in you or in me that merits God showing us his grace. God shows us his favor even though we've done nothing that would merit or justify such an act. We just talked about how we accept grace by being obedient. But friends, that does not in any way merit our salvation. I get tired of dealing with people religiously who, anytime you bring up baptism, well, you're saying that you worked your own salvation. That's a salvation by works when you bring in baptism to it. You're saying that you merit your salvation, that by doing that, God owes you salvation. I've said none of those things. And will not say any of those things. God says, I'll save you. Here's what you need to do. And what I'm telling you is, that's what we need to do. That doesn't in any way merit salvation. I've used the example before. If I laid out, and don't get excited because this ain't happening, but if I laid out 10 $100 bills on the Lord's Supper table, had $1,000 sitting there, and I said, Brian, if you'll come up here and grab that, that's yours. Did Brian walking from where he's sitting to there and then back, did that earn him $1,000? Did he in any way merit receiving that $1,000? No, what it was that? That was a gift, right? But if he sat right there in the seat, I can tell you this, it'd be $1,000 poor. In order to receive that gift, what did he have to do? He had to accept it upon the conditions that I placed upon it, right? Why? Because it was my $1,000 to begin with. You following me? All right, y'all, this is yes. I know it's nighttime. You all took a nap and you haven't woken up yet. But, okay. Same thing. God says, here's salvation. Whose salvation is it? It's God's. What does he have the right to do? Place conditions upon it. Here's salvation. Here's the conditions that I placed upon it. If you want it, here's what you need to do. We do that. Has that in any ways merited that? Absolutely not. All we've done is accepted the conditions that God placed upon it. And as a result of that, God has given us salvation. Friends, obedience does not negate grace. It's meeting God where he's placed the conditions. It's doing what God has said. Grace is something that is unmerited. But also, number two, grace is undeserved. I realize this is very similar to our previous point. But there's a slight difference here. Even if you and I could do something to say to God, you owe me this, you and I still wouldn't deserve it. Is it possible to be given something because it's owed to us, but we really don't deserve it? Yeah. We can receive things that while, yes, we were owed it, we didn't really deserve receiving it. In Luke chapter 17, in verses 7 through 10, Jesus tells a very interesting story. He says, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? He said, you've got a servant, he's been out working. When he comes in, do you say, hey, now that you're done working, why don't you just come on in? I fixed the food for you. I've set the table for you. You can sit down and eat. Jesus said, no, would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Jesus said, no, the servant comes in. The servant is to serve the master first. Then the servant can serve himself. He said, does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded of him? So you also, he said, here's the point I'm getting at. So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, you still say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. See what Jesus is getting at? He said, even when we've been obedient, that doesn't mean we deserve it. That doesn't mean we can turn to God and say, this is what you owe me. I deserve salvation. He says at the end of the day, you've simply done what you were told to do. So we think about grace, we need to understand that it's unmerited. It is something that we receive that is undeserved. And then thirdly and finally tonight, grace is unfathomable. Grace is unfathomable. The word here means incapable of being fully explored or understood, impossible to measure the extent of. I really like the last, especially part of that definition, impossible to measure the extent of. God's grace is something that you and I can't put a ruler to. We sing the song sometimes, deeper than the oceans, wider than the sea, is the grace of our Savior for sinners like me. Can't measure the extent of it. Paul talks about that great grace in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. He's writing a second letter to the church at Corinth. In chapters 8 and 9, he's beginning to talk to them. He had told them in the first letter, I want you to get a collection together to help with some of the problems that the saints in Jerusalem are dealing with. And so he tells them, get this together, and when I come, I'll pick it up. But as he writes the second letter, he's found out that they haven't done that yet. And so in chapters 8 and 9, he's trying to motivate them to do that. And one of the ways that he seeks to motivate them is by talking about what God has done for them. And in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Y'all, Christ left heaven. We all have family members and loved ones who are faithful Christians, who have died, who have gone on. And as much as you and I might want them back, I feel real confident in this statement. If they were giving a choice, they're staying there. All right? Christ willingly left. Not only did he do that, but he came to earth and took on this with all of its problems. And not only did he willingly come to earth and take on this, he gave his life. That's what he did for you and for me, so that we could take advantage of God's grace. That's why Paul would later say in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Friends, that's grace. Tonight, do you need to take advantage of it? The unmerited, the undeserved, the unfathomable, the grace that God offers to you. Maybe you've never become a Christian. That grace is extended to you. Believing in Jesus, turning from sin, putting Christ on in baptism. Or maybe you've done those things, but you realize tonight, you know what, I've turned away from God. His grace is extended to you as well. Come back home. What is grace? It's God making salvation possible for us. Do you need to take advantage of it? If you do, come right now as we stand and sing.